Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Anyway, I want to get into the Word today. I know we've done a lot of ministry, but what I really wanted to talk about was hearing God, and you've had a lesson already from God, and I think that's a really awesome thing. So the message is entitled, Listen and Ask More, and I really am hoping that by the time you leave the building that you're going to be able to hear better or inspired just to know that your hearing has an outlet. So I just thank you, Lord, for your Word, and I pray that you'd lead it the way you want to lead it. In Jesus' name, amen. I wanted to share with you, and it's kind of a blunder that I made, actually. I woke up at 3:20 in the morning this week. I don't remember if it was Tuesday or Wednesday. I woke up at 3:20. I always look at what the time is. I went, 3:20, awesome. But it wasn't just like I woke up and looked. I was wide awake. I'm like, you're awake. You're not going back to sleep. This is a God moment. Get up and pray. So I look, it's 3:20. So I went in the living room, and I'm like, 3:20, Ephesians 3:20. I know this is an awesome morning. And so I'm praying circles around all these things and going, I know what this is. And I'm like going, I'm so happy you woke me up at 3:20. You know, it's my favorite scripture. And, you know, God can do exceedingly abundantly beyond all you ask or think. That's a good thing to wake up to if you're getting a promise from God, right? So I'm doing this whole thing. And then I stop just to listen. And I'm just listening, doing the listening thing. So here, zero, nada, zilch, nothing. And I'm like, okay, no big deal. I go into praise. I'm praising him, thanking him for my kids, thanking him for you guys, thanking him for all. You know what I mean? I had a thanks session with God. And I was all, did my devotions, you know, and then move on with your day, right? So the next day, I wake up, it's 4:11. And, you know, 4:11 information, God wants to tell you something. And I get up, and I'm like, all right, 4:11. I get up, I go to sit down. I sit down, and I was just quiet and listening. And then he tells me, he says, Revelations 3:20. And then I went, whoops, probably dropped that one yesterday. And I went to it and I realized it's what I was said I was going to speak on. He's talking about, you know, if anyone hears, you know, and I'm like, I stand at the door and knock if anyone hears my voice. And I'm like, I don't think I heard his voice yesterday. I think I was so excited. I went out and started telling God what I need to hear. Has anybody ever been happily rebuked, but you kind of still had fun in that day anyway? It wasn't bad. You know what I mean? It's like, I didn't have a bad day, but it's like, I missed a day of revelation, no pun intended, but I missed revelation because I was so busy talking and expecting that I could tell God what he was going to do instead of listening to what he really wanted to tell me. Come on, Peter's knocking at the door and she's like, you know, comes back, doesn't even open the door and leaves him at the door. You know, it's the answer to prayer. And you're like, so sometimes we're, and the point that I'm making is that sometimes we're asking God's questions, like I'm asking him things and submitting things and making declarations instead of listening. And we need to listen first and then ask. Listening and asking is important, but sometimes our asking or our mouth can get in the way of our ear, but usually not in reverse. Usually if you're listening, it's not really in the way of what you're asking because you can still ask. But we can get that backwards. So I want to focus a little bit on that today. And I'm going to bring this around and do what I said and talk about some other good ways to ask. But we can get it messed up. And so if it was a lesson to me, and then I heard a bunch of stuff and it was awesome. And so basically that's our text today as we're coming out of Revelations chapter 3, not Ephesians 3. Thank you. Somebody amen me. And so before I come out of this, I really wanted to just kind of clarify, you know, that there were seven letters that John was told to write, and Jesus appeared to him in the island of Patmos. Well, John was already old, so Jesus was already, he was crucified, died, resurrected, okay, he's already gone to heaven. This is decades later, John's an old man, Jesus appears. So the New Testament church was already functioning, right? And then Jesus spoke some things to the church. Seven churches he spoke to, seven letters that he wrote. That's to that. If you go, I don't understand Revelations, you should understand those. That's what Jesus was speaking to his church. So I get it that those were seven cities, seven churches, but they also have an application that went on and they circulated those letters as well. So we're going to look at one of those, take a little piece out of one of those for us today, and we're going to go from there. So I don't want you to get defensive because I want you to know that this is one of the churches out of all the seven churches, just so you know, like usually he said, hey, you're doing this really good, but we need to work on this. But on this church, he didn't say anything good. There was no commendation. He just basically kind of rebuked them and then went into encouraging them. But you know, when you love someone, you can correct them. And in this church, there wasn't a lot of good. They just kind of brought correction, but then he brought something good out of it. But I don't want you to see it through that eyes, like, oh, this. Let's just talk about all what's going wrong, because sometimes we put our dukes up and we don't really receive what we're supposed to hear. But I want you to really think about this in more in context to, out of all seven churches, if he didn't have anything good to say, not anything good, if he didn't have anything good to commend in their actions or what they were doing, he didn't commend any of their actions, but yet he said and gave them some promises, then that means even for a kid like me, who was probably the worst out of 10 kids, who God saved and redeemed, if you can take the worst of the worst and God can redeem them, then there's hope for all churches and all people. Let's look at it through the eyes of grace, is what I'm saying. Can we do that? Revelations 3:14. To the angel of the church of Laodicea, these things I say, the Amen, the faithful true witness, the beginning of creation of God. He says, I know your works, that you're neither hot nor cold, nor I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you're lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. I know that's kind of gross. It's kind of like, wow. You know, and I've heard a lot of stuff. I preached different things on this. And if you were there, there was a real easy application, because where the city was located, Laodicea, if you went straight north, let's see, east and north. On the east was Colossa, was the church in Colossians, and they had this ice cold spring water. So they had this cold water that was awesome. And if you went to the north, they had these hot springs and mineral baths, and they had, I mean, like the jacuzzi mineral bath city. Let's go visit that one. Yeehaw. Some of you are like, don't like hot jacuzzis. Get me the cold, refreshing water coming from the mountains. So these guys had, they were known for their hot water. These guys were known for their cold water. And their city, Laodicea, was just known because they piped all the water and there was no water at all. In the city, it was kind of like lukewarm, nasty. How many of you love that tap water, nasty? No, I'm joking. So there was a personal application in all the things he described. There's actually one for all, but I'm not going to go through them all. That's not what I'm teaching today. But I want you to know there was something that they would have got, but there's also something for the church to go through generation to generation. So he lays this out to him, and I think for us, the application is there's a lot of people who are spiritually on fire, and there's people that are spiritually cold. And he's saying, you know, this lukewarm, you know, we shouldn't be this halfway Christian on a fence. We should be on fire for God. And obviously, that's what God wants for us. So he went on to say some things and some observations. If you look in verse 20, he said, and this is what I want to focus on, is these three verses. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit on my throne. Here's a church he had nothing good to say about. He says, I'm at the door. If you open the door, you're going to sit on my throne. I'm going to grant you to sit on my throne. I mean, this is like a huge promise. This is a letter of hope. This is a letter that says there isn't anybody who's too far for God to come into their lives. And then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. So Jesus is speaking to his church, and that's the way I want to look at it today. Number one, if anyone hears, we're the anyone. We are the anyone. If anyone hears my voice, not just the pastor, not just the leader, not just the person who's prophetic, not just the person who's, you know, gifted with this or gifted with that. How about we all? We're all. If anyone hears my voice, God's calling. Do you hear that? God is calling. So I want you to catch this. There was a prevailing custom of the day, and the custom of that time is that somebody would go knock on a door, and when they knocked on the door, they then would say who they are, because they didn't have high-tech security cameras and peepholes and all this stuff. There was probably holes, and they weren't peepholes. It's just like it was a little different culture, but they had their doors locked, and so the custom of the day was when you knocked, you said who you were. You're like, hi, this is Matt. And like, oh, that's Matt. We know his voice. Matt who? You know what I mean? Like, you know, clarify yourself. Like, you know, who are you? They identified. So the custom was they knock, but then they, with a loud voice, would declare who they are. Not screaming, but I mean, it's so-and-so, so they could identify him. You can see this even in like Luke, when it talks about in Luke 15, he went to his friend in the middle of the night, and then he's asking him, and he says, anyway, so there was a custom of the day, and they would identify as they went to the door. But and when it was dark, especially when at dark, you have to identify who you are, because they didn't have all the lighting systems we have, and they're asleep, and it's going to be pitch black. You're not opening the door going, who are you? Poof, get knocked out by a thief. So they would, their voice was critical. So just, I'm saying, if you put yourself in their day, they were looking at something. And I'm saying in our day, there's a spiritual application because we live in a land where there's darkness and a time and a season where there's darkness and we need to hear the voice of God and we need to know what he's saying because sometimes we have to identify his voice. Devil can open a door. You don't just go through open doors. We need to hear the voice of God and know who's who we're opening our heart to and who we're opening our direction for. You're doing a job change. You're doing a switch. You need to hear the voice of God. And when you're in a spot, we need to hear his voice. I need to hear his voice for direction because, like I said, the devil can open a door. And so we can see this and, you know, you can see this. And maybe somebody has gone to a door. Have you ever been to somebody's door? Maybe you haven't because you're so popular. But, you know, one guy went to a door and they didn't let him in. And he knew that they knew he was there. And they're kind of like, shh. You know, and it's like, hey, hello, like, I know you know I'm here and you didn't answer. Probably not going back to that door because everybody loves rejection, right? I know it's sarcasm, but nobody wants to go back into that, right? Okay, so, but we can get a misunderstanding. Humans can get rejected and offended, but God isn't really offended and rejected. Matter of fact, he promised you and said to you that I will never leave you or forsake you. Leaving you means I'm never going back to that doorstep. Okay, that's geographical. But forsake is something in your heart. And that's even worse when a person is like, forget you, man. I'm not going to go knock on your door again. You don't want nothing to do with me. I don't want nothing to do with you. You can be in a marriage and not leave them, but in your heart, you forsook them. And that's even worse because you shut your heart down to that person. Are you with me? But he said, I will never leave you or forsake you, which means God's going to stay with you. God's going to keep knocking. And even when you feel he's distant, he's still coming to knock on your door. Anyway, moving right along. So I just want to say that because the devil's a liar and the devil's always going to tell you, God peaced out. He's never coming back. You missed it. You missed your opportunity, so he'll never come again. No, he'll knock again, and he will. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. So he knows yours. So you can learn to hear the voice of God, and sometimes you hear the voice of God on some things. Like the other day, this week, I don't know what day it was, whatever, Monday, I think. Monday, we're watching a movie. It's our day off. And we're watching this movie and, you know, whatever. Just a family movie. So we're watching this family movie. It was kind of B-rate, but whatever. And we're watching this movie, meaning it wasn't like some famous thing. And Teresa always wants to know where it's filmed, okay? So all you patient men who want to sit in the movie theater and be the last person to leave the movie theater, we want to get in our cars because we're always in a race. We want to get home. We want to beat everyone out. We don't want to be the last one out of the theater. Anyway, moving right along. Maybe it's just me. But we weren't at a movie theater, but we were at home. But she wants to read the whole thing until you get to where it was filmed, which is the last thing in there, probably. So it's going on and on and on, and they're looping the music, and you're like going on and on and on. And I was very patient, sitting there. And she's going, you know, it's probably like New Zealand, or it's probably like here, you know? And we're like, and I go, it was filmed in Romania. And I did this dramatic, like, voice. And then I'm thinking, where'd that come from, you know? It was word of knowledge. And then all of a sudden pops up, filmed in Romania. And I'm like, lucky guess? No, I don't know anyone from Romania. Well, I probably do, but I mean, I don't know what Romania looks like. I've never heard of a film filmed in Romania. We've looked at a bazillion films, never ever heard of another one in the past that said it was filmed in Romania. Where'd that come from? God. Well, what? God's into trivia, you know, because there was no big ministry that was going to happen. God's good at trivia. He's better than us, right? No. How about he's training us to hear the voice of God so when we know we get knowledge of something that we know we don't know, we know who it comes from. How about it was just training school to hear the voice of God? So we have to practice hearing the voice of God. And if I was wrong, you own it. And you say, okay, miss that one. Just own it, you know? So, but we need to learn how to practice. And if you don't make mistakes, you're not going to practice. But know that God is, you know, if you're afraid of mistakes, you won't practice. But anyway, so just take that one. And I know I gotta move. And so I just want to say, you know, like we all have access. You say, well, how does that happen? Well, probably because in 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says, who has known the mind of the Lord and that he may instruct him. That's what I was trying to do in prayer the first day, is tell God how Ephesians 3:20 needed to happen in my life instead of listening and hearing it's Revelation 3:20. Okay. But it says, but we have the mind of Christ. And if I had listened, he would have told me probably a day sooner. But we have the mind of Christ. So if we have the mind of Christ, then we have access to all these things. What are we doing with that? We're privileged as children that God will speak to us and God will tell us his secrets and he'll let us know things because he wants to change the world around us. What are we doing with that privilege? We have to listen. So we have to learn to listen. So he said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears," we're the anyone, but now we go to another level, and that is, are we listening? And so everyone wants to be an overcomer, but to overcome, we have to learn to listen. So to change the world around us, we have to invest in hearing. I'm not talking about hearing, spiritual hearing aids, and if you just pay $50 to this place on TV, you're going to hear and get this special anointed oil or water that's going to take you to some realm. I'm saying learning to hear. We need to invest in hearing. We need to invest in hearing God. So how do you hear? Because you need to hear the way you hear. So how do you hear God? You can't just take another person's way they hear God and think that's the way you hear God. Because it's different. It's different. Like, I could take all these different pastors. There's five of us sitting right here. All of us could probably have a different way of saying how we get into the zone where we hear God. Some of it just pops in. Some of it, they're this. And, you know, so, but whatever it is, you got to find your way and then invest in that way. So, like, if it's sitting and soaking with music, then sit and soak. You know, if yours is like, you know, you hear God when you're like going on downhill on a mountain bike going, then get on your mountain bike. You know what I mean? If you walk, walk. If you sit in a tub, then soak. I mean, I don't know. Your soak may be different than someone else's soak, you know? But it's just, yours is valid. What I'm saying to you is, we have to invest in hearing and identify how we hear and not try to work someone else's, like David trying to put on Saul's armor. He's like, I can't go out and fight the devil in your, or fight Goliath in your armor. I need to, mine is a sling in it. Mine's a shepherd's armor. So I'm going to use shepherd, and that's how I'm coming at Goliath. And it was successful. If he tried to wear that clunky stuff, he wouldn't have done what he did. And so we need to be the same way. We need to learn how do we invest in hearing. So instead of telling you how to hear, which we can talk about different ways you hear, the key is that when you find your way, invest in your way and do what it takes so that you hear. The second one is ask good questions. So not only do we need to hear, but we need to ask God. So in 1 Corinthians 2, he tells us, but God revealed it through his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, that even the deep things of God. So if we know that the Spirit of God, then we need to ask the Holy Spirit. We need to ask, and we need to ask good questions and say, okay, what are you doing with this? What are you doing here now? And learn to walk with him. John 16:12 says, I have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now, because we'd never get all the instruction and then say, okay, now we're going to live the rest of our lives. We're always being instructed. We're always learning. So he gave us the Holy Spirit. And it says in John 16, he said, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you the things to come. So the Holy Spirit will come in our lives and tell us things. So we have to foster a relationship with the Holy Spirit on this earth, that we learn how to hear his voice and the way that he speaks. And there's a bunch of different ways. Next week, I'm hopefully going to get to break down even more of those. I'm probably the most... probably the greatest way people hear is through impressions. They see a quick picture in their mind. You know, like when I was sitting there with Teresa and I got the word of knowledge, like it's Romania, it just popped out. It was just one of those boom, you know. But usually I see a picture of something that then I have to say, what are you showing me this for? And he's telling you something, but it's a quick image. It's an impression. Sometimes there's a bunch of different ways, but the Holy Spirit will. And what's important is that he promised us that he will speak. And I think sometimes we think like, I don't want to bug God. I don't want to ask God. This is too simple. Or maybe we think my question's not important. How many of you have had like a toddler? What age are they doing the questions? About somewhere about there. Is it two? When they're asking question after question after question after question after question. Why? But you give them an answer. But why? You know, but why? And you're like, okay. And so does a parent go, I'm done with your questions. Hopefully you didn't. But you're like... You're like, I'm so happy that you're intrigued, even though it's like, because I said so sometimes, it's like, well, whatever, you know, but why does the water come out of the faucet? You're like, now I'm going to explain the irrigation system of a city. Why does the light come on when you do that? Or, you know, why is light in the bulb? And, you know, I mean, but there's questions. We need to come to him like a child and not be afraid to keep asking our daddy why and what. and to ask more. So when we say we get a piece of the puzzle, we can say, God, why? And when you're praying for somebody, especially praying for the sick, we get, and then all of a sudden the healing stops. I'm asking why. I'm saying why. And all of a sudden you get a picture, an image, and you have to break some generational thing, or you're praying for something, or there's something they said. Hey, are you like angry at somebody? You know, like a female, my sister, I hate her. You know, and you're like, oh, this might be why. If you just forgive her, and then boom, they get healed. So I'm just saying, like, sometimes you have it. There's a reason. So don't be afraid to ask God, you, when you're in ministry, and for yourself. It's like you can sozo yourself. Like, why, God, am I stuck? Why is this plateauing? Why am I not hearing you? And he's like, because you assumed it's Ephesians instead of listening to me tell you it's Revelation. I'm like, thank you for the revelation of Revelation. Went to it and got ministered to. So, hey, the ministers can make mistakes. Anyone can. We all need to come to God like a child. Are you with me? If you keep childlike faith and you ask questions, you're in a good spot, because God is not, he's not opposed to you asking. He wants you to ask. And we need to take risks, and we need to step out. So it's kind of part of it. And we need to learn, because as we're training, like I was saying, I brought up the silly illustration of me saying Romania. And the point that I did it was because sometimes that's training for when you're hearing inside of a church. So truthfully, we were getting ready to minister. I'm talking about words of knowledge. I've got none. I have words of knowledge almost every service. And I'm like, great. I'm teaching on words of knowledge and I have no words of knowledge. I'm like, I was just telling Pastor Annie, I'm like, this is a disaster. This is the worst I've ever been in. I'm standing here and I have nothing when I'm trying to speak on this, because God had a different purpose. He wanted to kind of do something publicly, and then they start flowing when you stand up. Are you with me? So God, you have to work with God and not be afraid of mistakes and trust God and walk forward. That is sometimes training, when like that was just a training, so you can trust God to hear, and you know God can just speak. So we need to step out and start practicing. When you're standing next to somebody and you're in line to get food at the pizza place, you can say, hey, you know, instead of going, you have a sister and your sister is like in trouble and your sister's this. And they're like, don't have a sister. She's not in trouble because I don't have one. You're weird. You know, you could be like, hey, do you have a sister? Yeah, yeah. Oh, you know, yeah. Is she, you know, is she going through something? Why do you say that? Because I'm a believer and I just feel like God wants me just to pray right now for her. I feel like God wants to do something great in her life. And he just wants to let you know that God was putting on my heart that he wants to minister to her and do something good. And you can try to say it in a way that somebody that doesn't even know what minister means, you know, that God wants to do something good in her life, and he's pointing it out to me. It happens all the time, you know, because I'm his child. He speaks to us, you know. But like, you got to take it to another level where you step out. I know it's just a quick illustration, but whatever that looks like in your workplace or wherever, and be humble. If they say no, go, okay, well, I'm practicing and trying, and I probably just made a mistake. It's all good. And you move on. And sometimes you find out if you stay humble, you'll find out God has something really good to say. Now, don't make the mistake that when you go to minister to somebody and you see something, go, I just saw your sister. And I saw this prostitution ring, and it was really crazy. And, you know, and it's like, I think, you know, and then you're freaking them out. It's like, you know, when God shows you things, you're supposed to be speaking and declaring the grace of God and filtering through the cross. And you got to ask God, like if you're praying for somebody, why you see something, especially if you see sin. So if you see sin, you got to find, when you see the dirt, you got to find the diamond in the dirt. And sometimes you'll feel the dirt on somebody when you're close to them. And instead of going like, do you have an alcohol problem? You could be like, you know what? God's showing me that he's going to take you past whatever, you know, this challenge that you're facing in your life, and that he's going to be the answer to do. You got to look for that gold. You got to look for the diamond in the mind. You got to look for that gold nugget. When it's dark, shine the light on it and say, God, why are you showing me this? And speak the opposite. Now, I just want to tell you, Jesus was walking on the street. You can look at the example in Luke 19. Jesus is entering Jericho. He sees Zacchaeus up in a tree. He looks at the guy and he gets a word of knowledge. And he says, Zacchaeus, come down, for today I must go to your house. So he got the guy's name. Okay, it's Zacchaeus. You say, well, he probably knew him. I doubt that he knew the name of the tax collector, but whatever, even if it wasn't. He calls Zacchaeus down because he sees something. I must eat with you. He goes to Zacchaeus' house. He's eating a meal with him. But he's looking for more than just that. I got your name and you're Zacchaeus and we're eating a meal. It's not about carne asada. There's something here. It could be, because that sounds really good right now. Sorry to mess with your heads. But, you know, there's something deeper that he's looking for. And Jesus is going, Father, you put me here for a reason. There's something that's going to come out of this. And so he gets a word and then he sees something and he could have like got turned off because people started saying, why are you going with this sinner? Jesus is okay with the fact that Zacchaeus was working on his testimony. Jesus is listening to God saying, what can I do to speak to help change it for good? And then he just says something. Zacchaeus says in verse 8, he says, he stood and said, Lord, look, I give half of my goods to the poor and I've taken anything I'm going to, and he just repents. And Jesus is like, today salvation has come to this house in verse 9 because he's a son of Abraham. So it starts with a word of knowledge and a name, but he's looking for something that's going to shift that atmosphere. And we need to be that same kind of people that we're listening and looking for that gold in a person or looking for that moment that shifts that whole situation. And you say, what? How do you do that if you're like going into some guy's house and this guy's like a modern day IRS agent, a corrupt IRS agent, you know what I mean? Not the good ones, obviously, but if, you know, here's this guy and he's like known for corruption and you're around him and you're like, ooh, I feel grossed out. I don't even want to eat with the guy. There was a purpose and a reason and he was okay sitting there to try to find that gold and it changed his whole life and shifted the lives of all the people he was robbing and oppressing. And we need to be those people that are ready to look for something that's going to shift history. We're looking for the deeper, which is number 3. Listen to the deeper than people's words. Jesus was good at looking beyond their words and looking into their heart. James 1:19 says, so, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Some people, you know, they can kind of bug you. And, you know, you could be around someone and their sin could bug you. Your discernment, you could just be uneasy because you're discerning something. But don't let that hinder you. So I was talking about God ministering to us and speaking to us, but now I'm talking about when you're speaking to a person, learn to listen, learn to hear. Because even when I was with God in my devotion, I started speaking when I should have listened first. And I missed it. And sometimes with people, we can speak and miss something. Try to listen to what's happening and be slow to speak. Listen to what, develop your ear, listen to people. And sometimes there's something in their heart. And if you feel something with the person, some of you are have a very discerning spirit and you're discerning something, you're feeling something. So like, for instance, you could be around somebody and you go, I'm around this person. And when I'm around them, I just feel frustrated. I don't like to hang out with them. I feel frustrated. You know, they got an anger problem. It's like, well, maybe you need to speak into that. Maybe you're around them and you go, when I'm around them, I feel like partying. It's like, they got a party spirit on them. It's like, well, maybe God's showing you that, not to tell them that they need to repent from their party spirit, but you can speak into it and say, come to my church. We can have a Holy Ghost party and it's awesome. And you can have peace without, you know, a headache the next morning. And you know what I mean? I'm saying, like, we need to look past. And sometimes you feel something, and this is a mistake sometimes, that people come in and they go, you know, I see this about a person, and then you're discerning something, and then you start prophesying against what you're discerning, and you make a total mistake. So sometimes, like, for an example, we had a prophecy recently, and the person picked up on something that was good. They had a revelation, but their interpretation was totally wrong. And it's okay, but like they're saying, I see this governmental thing on you, like you're going to be like this mayor or something of your city. And I'm like, I will never be a mayor. I have no desire to be in politics. But the vice mayor had called me and asked us to do the National Day of Prayer. And I knew what they were picking up on, that we had an influence. So we tried to hurry up and put it together for him. And it made total sense to me. The interpretation made sense to me. But sometimes we get a revelation and we try to interpret it when we should be interacting with the person saying, does this make sense? Well, that part doesn't make sense, but I kind of know what the interpretation is. Or, you with me? Don't be afraid to talk to people instead of just shoving a prophecy down their throat that you're getting a revelation and then you're bringing the interpretation and it really didn't land at all. It didn't do anything for them. They walk away going, that didn't really minister to me at all. I just feel like, whatever, I was your guinea pig and you missed it. So I'm just saying, like, there's an interaction that you can do with integrity to ask if it's hitting, if it's lighting, and be responsible and not just be the Christian fire hose that just dumps on people. Are you with me? So I'm just saying, be sensitive and learn to like interact with people. And sometimes there's a time where you take risks, but you still need to own it if you made a mistake. That's all I'm saying. Okay? I went too long. I'll pick it up next week. We're done. Go ahead and stand to your feet. So just in basic, number one was, if anyone hears, worthy anyone, we're supposed to hear. And the next one, ask good questions. You know, we need to treat people with honor and ask good questions to God how we can get past something, especially if we're getting frustrated in a ministry situation, and be swift to hear. And definitely we need to know that our responsibility is to open the door, and it's easy. You can hear from God and it is easy. You just have to give it time to practice your listening ear. So I pray right now, Father, that you just bless us. I pray that you'd give us ministry opportunities, not only with you, but then with others, to take that listening ear we develop with you and to release it to other people on the street. So we bless you, and I bless your people, and I thank you. It's an honor to be able to minister. I pray your word goes deep in our hearts, and I pray, God, that we could touch lives all around us. I pray that we would shift and change regions, even as we minister to key people in key areas, wherever you send us, key peoples in all spheres of society, that we don't have to stand back and tolerate darkness, but we can turn the light on. So help us, God, to hear your voice and to turn the light on wherever we go and to trust the results to you. So I thank you for each one that's here, and I pray, would you put your hand on your heart? I pray there's a restoration of childlike faith. I pray if you've been jaded by being ministered to from people that weren't sincere, or if you just got rejected, I pray, God, you just heal it and lift it off of them. And I pray there's a childlike faith and a childlike asking and a childlike development that we can learn and grow and be safe in your hands, because you're a loving Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.